This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. An epic Wednesday show awaits. We have some Avs discussion, some MLB All-Star stuff to get to as well. General at your service, Eddie's. There's Brian Broaddus. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control. Wolchuk Chiafalo. Of course, Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. It was cool to see Banny in the dugout last night there with Lavulo and the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll be talking All-Star here shortly. But the Mavs announcing Kyrie Irving undergoing surgery for a broken hand. What do you think of where this goes? Is it clear if he's going to be back or not? Wolchuk, what do you have for us on this Kyrie Irving story?
Yeah, so we had Mike Curtis, who's really doing a fantastic job covering the Mavs with the morning news. He was the first that I saw put out that he underwent surgery to repair a broken hand. He sustained that earlier this month while training. So I don't know. I mean, when it comes to him being back for camp, I feel like that's something that should be okay. He's got, what, till October to go ahead and let that thing heal, but there isn't, I did not see any estimated time frame really. But I guess when it comes to broken hands, like, what is that? You're looking at a month to 2 months for that thing to go ahead and hopefully recover?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about at least 8 weeks. So that would put him pretty much right at about training camp time. September 27th, I believe, is when things really get going across the league. So
It's on his non-shooting hand.
Non-shooting hand, absolutely, which is nice, but it certainly sucks.
It does.
And I'm sure it will ultimately slow play what he does throughout training camp, but I was bummed when I got the news on the notification on the phone yesterday. I was like, geez, what are you doing? How are you breaking your hand right now? I'm trying to figure out what he was doing.
I mean, crazy stuff can happen, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he was working on his left-handed windmill dunk, hit the rim a little too hard.
I'll tell you what. I mean, didn't he just set a career high for most dunks in a season?
He did.
He might understand about, like, his time here with the Mavericks and the role. Like, he's going to get opportunities to slam it home, and he wants to make sure that he's flushing it like a big dog.
Modern medicine, maybe the hand's stronger.
I just hope there's no complications to it, you know, and he's back maybe shortly before training camp. I don't think you have much to worry about Kyrie Irving, like, as far as this being a distraction. He's one of the hardest workers on his craft that I've ever seen in any professional sport. But, you know, I think that's a reminder that, hey, Kyrie Irving's career has not been without injury. And, you know, last year was a blessing. Keeping him and Luka healthy is your absolute ticket. But what did you think of the way the finals went for Kyrie? If we zoomed out from this injury and just looked at the balance of, you know, how things have gone for him the last couple of months, didn't appear to be what he was up to that point. Why was that? And what does that mean? You know, is he getting to a point where you have to wonder, is age going to prevent him from being a difference maker against, you know, elite teams like they eventually came up with the Celtics, or an elite scheme like the Thunder had for him?
I think certain defenders, like I think we saw Oklahoma City with their size and physicality, he certainly was a shell of himself in that series. Now, he was banged up in that series as well. But Boston, I wonder, and I didn't really think, like, I didn't want to buy into the mentality thing there with, like, maybe psychologically the effect of the Boston crowd, like, that did have an impact on him. But maybe it did, because he played much better at home in games 3 and 4 than he did in the 3 games in Boston. So I do think there's something there at age 32 where there will be certain defensive matchups that are going to cause him problems now at this age, especially being a smaller guard, to where he was probably able with his athleticism to, you know, limit that a little bit when he was younger. So, I mean, yeah, I think that he's still going to be a difference maker, but when you're going up against a team in Boston 1 through 5, all of them could defend, he certainly was challenged in a way that no other team was going to provide that challenge to him.
Yeah, and it's still with the all the stuff underlying with Boston as well, like how much of that was affecting him there, because even in the Oklahoma City series, it felt like his scoring was down, but his assists were up in a big way, and it felt like there were a lot of things that were benefiting from the Oklahoma City Thunder choosing to take him away. And it wasn't like he completely vanished, because, again, the assists were up quite a bit. So it's really only that Celtics series that's a bummer in my mind of, like, he just really wasn't himself and he didn't impact the series the way you would have wanted him to. And I think a lot of that just has to do with whatever it is he has to deal with psychologically about Boston. And the fact that they're awesome, for sure, as you mentioned.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, maybe it was just specifically scheme against OKC. I mean, they were pretty much insta-doubling him in all scenarios and, you know, betting that Dort and, you know, Luka's injuries would slow him down enough, and a perfectly good strategy. How about this? If Klay Thompson can't defend well, is that really a good idea to have him, Luka, and Kyrie in the starting lineup? I think that might be the most interesting thing to pay attention to in the first month of the season.
Ooh, I mean, I think if that ends up being the case, you're going to have to start Najee Marshall. And Clay's going to have to understand that for the betterment of the team, which he seems open to because he wants to get that championship, maybe I do need to come off the bench like he did in the second half against Golden State. That might be a big reason why he signed with the Mavs, outside of course, he wants to win a championship because he wants to start. And that's probably why Derrick Jones Jr. left. But I think that we've seen there are times where with Luka and Kyrie, who aren't all-world defenders, they will put effort in at times, especially Kyrie, but that's going to be a problem. If you've got three guys on the floor that are really limited with their defensive ability, you're going to have to at times put out Najee Marshall to start like they ended up doing with Derrick Jones Jr. as the season went along.
I kind of feel like they made the determination that even playing defense wasn't good enough. The scoring was more important than the defense. I think they're going to live with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to say, listen, you know, we the second half of the season, we played some pretty good defense. Through the playoffs, played some pretty good defense, but we couldn't score enough. You know, we couldn't put enough pressure on our opponents in some of these games. I think they've made a fundamental switch to, like, you know, fine, if we have three bad defenders out there, at least we got three badass shooters. That's how I think they're looking at this.
Yeah, I think the offense is everything that you're looking for here.
I think it's more important to them than actually playing the defense.
Yeah. Well, it clearly is. That was their biggest thing. They were willing to sacrifice that within, I guess, the starting lineup. They're making the choice. We are willing to get at least a little bit worse defensively. Now we'll see how much worse. I would still probably be surprised if Klay Thompson's defense is so bad that it outweighs what he's able to provide offensively. But I think there are scenarios where you could see that happening. But I don't think that's going to be a huge problem, at least not in year one. As it goes on, you know, as he ages, for sure.
Right.
I think this year they will be able to hold on enough, and hopefully his efficiencies from the three-point line are so much that it just outweighs whatever is bad going on defensively.
I mean, Najee Marshall made a big bump in his three-point percentage last year. If he's capable of stopping the other team's best player or matching up with the other team's best player and giving him hell... And Grimes isn't too far away from there in that department either.
They added two good defenders. Yeah. I don't think they really said,
but
like,
when do
we're
you need the best defenders? Is that in the reserve minutes, or is it, you know, when the game is starting and their two best perimeter players are on the court? You know, that's what I'm looking at. If Marshall or Grimes can shoot the ball well next year, I think that's going to become a significant factor as you're looking at those 30-point first quarters for the other team. They're going to make it look awful easy, and I think it really made a huge difference last year when you had an elite guy like Derrick Jones Jr. who could help slow the other team down.
I think the thing, too, that they're probably thinking a big bump defensively with Lively.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think they're probably thinking, okay, with the guys we've added and then a year more seasoning with Lively, that maybe that we can get away with having three poor defenders.
And in the regular season, that might be enough with PJ Washington taking on, you know, the All-Star and Lively protecting him. Yeah. It'll be really interesting to see how the regular season goes, because now we have two out of the last three postseasons where they didn't have a great regular season, but the matchups that were able to be dictated by Luka, you know, allowed them to put other teams in checkmate over the course of seven games. So as you get into next year, I wonder if they're fifth, sixth, seventh around the All-Star break, if we're going to take it all in and say, hey, we're going to be just fine. Just be patient until the playoffs start, and we're going to give him hell here with, you know, matchup nightmares.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's sort of the benefit of the doubt that they have afforded for themselves. So I think there will be some of that. And then it goes the opposite with other teams. When you're perpetually not showing up when it matters, then it's hard to get up when, you know, when you're high in the regular season or whatever. But for the Mavericks, I think they've earned that. And if Najee Marshall is able to come anywhere close to being the same effectiveness with his three-point shooting and whatnot, you know, offensively for the Mavericks is Klay Thompson, then yes, there's no question that'll end up being a better guy to throw out there, because defensively he's certainly going to be much better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know how much this coaching staff obsesses over defense. It's definitely a story to watch. And, you know, it's not like Klay Thompson's the worst defender in the world.
No. And it might just be semantics. I mean, Jason Kidd will mix and match those lineups throughout the entire regular season. We know that. And that sometimes will drive you mad.
All right, Team USA is now 3-0. They're talking about it being one of the deepest Team USA squads ever. Steph Curry was on fire, had 18 points in the first 11 minutes of the game, and the USA ends up blowing out Serbia by, I think, 28 points, 105-77. So congrats to Team USA for improving to 3-0 now as they continue to get ready for the Olympics. Luka juggling, Bassick had that, you know, in crosstalk. The thing there is, you go back to the end of round one against the Clippers, and they were saying the Clippers were super tight. They were nervous. The Mavs are out there happy-go-lucky, having a great time. And I think that's your best player setting the tone. Is he goofing off? Yes. But that keeps him loose. You know, that's what somebody does when they're super duper confident and are getting ready to go out there and do their thing. I'm willing to deal with the Luka goofiness or, you know, not preparing like, you know, Kobe, LeBron, Jordan, all these guys. You know, they put their headphones, they're getting in the zone, they're working up a lather, 40 minutes before the tip off. They're in this thing. But everybody has their own process of how they get ready to be at their absolute best. And I think that thing with Luka is a result of his extreme confidence that borders on arrogance, you know?
Yes, yeah. And he's perpetually a guy who starts games incredibly well. It's not like he's the guy that has to work his way in the game because he's not prepared to play. He's the guy that'll pop off for a 20-point first quarter. It's like, okay, he's clearly ready to go. So that's the way he likes to do it. It's frustrating when you're like, dude, you can't make a free throw. Should you have spent some time maybe shooting some free throws? That's really the one spot where I'm like, please God, tell me you are just living at the free throw line. And are we getting a little bit creative with how we can circumvent some of these rules here? Because you're a great trick shot guy. Let's turn the free throw for Luka into some level of a trick shot, dude. Do you need to go left-handed? Do you need to go granny? Do you need to step back and kind of fade away on it? I don't know. But let's throw caution to the wind here. Let's not be so traditional, because clearly you've played basketball forever. You don't have the free throw thing down. Let's pivot. Let's try something.
Yeah, I would say if you just want to spend the offseason in the gym making free throws and try to get that like 85% plus,
that'd be amazing.
That would be huge. Hell, 82% would be fantastic.
Get out of the 70s.
I think now, if this was for me and I didn't take my fitness and conditioning as seriously as, you know, professional athletes do, but I can relate to Luka's basic body construction and not having the best endurance. If you don't have endurance, you can't work up a lather and then go for 2.5 hours in a basketball game. I would show up and be like, let me stretch, and then we're going. Because about 20 minutes after I start going, my body's going to start talking to me about, hey, we're getting tired, back's hurting, knees hurting.
The enemy from within.
Exactly.
I used to stretch when I played sports like the 58th Colts. You know, you ever watch like those old, and they like rotate their arms, and then they'd, okay, let's go play.
And you're short.
Yeah, I mean, socks. That's what I'm saying. I mean, nowadays we have 30 minutes of stretching with the dudes kind of half-ass do. But I kind of, you know, like the 58 Colts, they never got hurt. Like, they're out there smoking a cigarette, rolling their arms. Johnny Hughes throwing a couple of passes. Next thing you know, they're playing football.
Yeah.
So I don't know,
man. It was a bunch of 150 pounders.
I'm just saying, we do a lot of stretching nowadays to get hurt. I don't know. I just 58 Colts, it just comes to mind that those dudes never got hurt.
What we do these days is we do a lot of fixing of the injury-prone guys. Our medical science has gotten so good, we could keep putting them back out there. They're like, oh, I pulled a hammy again. No, no doubt, dude. You should have been done playing sports at 16 years old. Our medicine's so damn good, we keep putting you back in the game.
I tell you, it's crazy to watch them stretch for 30 minutes and then dudes pull muscles.
It sounds like you're kind of watchdogging what they got going on over there.
I do.
He's watchdogging it.
I think that's 30 minutes I'll never get back in my life. You know, I used to be able to time practice to coming on the field when stretching was ending. That's how good I was at doing.
Something I've been meaning to ask you: what the hell is this spray that they use at like the
cold spray?
No, in the Euros. Yeah, is that what it is?
It's water.
Like they take a dive. They're like, oh, they're rolling around. Next thing you know, they're coming over. Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, it's like icy hot. It's like icy hot.
Yeah, okay. They put it on the ankle and the foot, and then they see magically okay. Like, can we get this in all of sports? It's just like magic spray.
Magic spray.
There must be a sponsor for the magic spray or something.
It's really not doing anything, but it's just for the look of it.
Yeah. Didn't help Messi very much the other day.
No, that thing blew up like an elephant.
Thing looks like a golf ball in his ankle there.
Speaking of golf, for the fourth time and final time this year, Scotty Scheffler outright favorite in a major golf tournament, plus 500 now at the Open, which starts tomorrow. Rory McIlroy second favorite at plus 800 despite his collapse at the U.S. Open. Okay, we have MLB All-Star takeaways and more sports coming up than the G-Bag of the Day at 2:30 here on The Fan.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, favorite thing, biggest takeaway from the All-Star Game, 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you. Leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous. Sean McFarland of the Morning News is coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk MLB All-Star Game with him. A segment of the nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for your free consultation. It's 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Gentlemen, Brian, Woolchuck, Chiafalo, Lucius, jump in here before we get to the text and maybe the top five takeaways. What stood out to you last night?
Okay, so there were two things for me. One was the jerseys. It was even worse than I imagined. I mean, the American League ones were terrible.
Bochy was rocking the hell out of that thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't care what you said.
I felt so bad looking at Boch having to wear that. Like, dude, we've got to go back. If you want to do hats, I was listening to Mike talk about this earlier, an awesome power hour with Jared during the Expressway. Go ahead and do some all-star hats if you really want to sell something. But let's go back to everybody rocking their own individual team jersey. These jerseys were disgraceful. The other thing was, and I love Boch, and I'm not one to criticize him a lot, and it ended up working out.
Here comes the but.
But my gosh, why did you just not have Aaron Judge in the top three of this lineup? Like, Gunnar Henderson is a leadoff hitter for the Baltimore Orioles. Have Gunnar Henderson leadoff. I know Stephen Kwan's had a hell of a year with the Guardians. He didn't look very good. Have Gunnar Henderson leadoff. We had Paul Skeens versus Gunnar Henderson. Have Juan Soto bat second, and then have Aaron Judge go ahead and bat third. We would have been guaranteed the Judge-Skeens battle. Now, thank God Juan Soto paid off on his promise.
He
I'm going to get on. And then it ended up being just a one pitch, you're out. So all of the hype and the buildup. But while I was driving home, and I'm like, are we really going to miss out on not getting Skeens versus Judge? Like, this is the All-Star game. This is what this is all about. Maybe we did mess up here on ordering those top three, but it ended up being fine. Those were my big takeaways. With Skeens was awesome to watch. Those were fun matchups, but we got to get rid of these jerseys.
Why was Skeens Judge so important? I mean, it's an all-star game. Judge is having another great year, 30-plus homers hitting over 300. You know, that's a rarity in this game, but why? I mean, there's
power versus power.
Stars everywhere. Power.
Yeah, it's the old sport. It's the old school. Even though Skeens is breaking stuff, I mean, I think that's why Judge grounded out, is because he was so worried about Skeens throwing him a breaking ball. He's like, I gotta try and hit this thing while it's a fastball and not dealing with breaking balls, because that's the one thing Skeens can make you look really, really bad. He'll just blow a couple by, and then all of a sudden here comes the off the table one, and now you're looking even worse. So I think it was just kind of an old school power versus power.
Yeah, like in these all-star games, I think that's what it's all about. It's best on best. You want to see the best pitcher arguably right now in the game against the best home run hitter in the game. And I think that that's what we're living for with these. Otherwise, why are we having all-star games? You know, I don't really care.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I think, though, the uniforms are just crazy because not only was the color scheme bad, but the thing that's going on right now that it reminds me of is in youth sports, you get these guest players that come over and you don't have time to get them a real uniform. Uh-huh. So you go get a dry fit t-shirt and put a number and stamp a logo on it. And you can just tell, like, the way it cuts across the body and the lines that it just looks flimsy and cheap. You know, maybe it does a little bit better in the weather as far as a breathability. You don't want them going back to the old wool uniforms or anything, but there's like a lack of quality to the fabric and maybe the cut that just leaves so much to be desired on those. It feels amateur. They look like beer league softball uniforms.
Big shout out to Broadus for putting in the call on the Shohei Dong and the Omo Seager call from Dawson. That was as close as you can get, man.
It was. He gave that one a ride.
Yeah, that's one of the top takeaways, I think, just how unbelievable the Shohei Ohtani show is and how it just feels like he can do it on demand. But especially at this stadium where Broadus was chronicling how he just had torched the Rangers, 11 for 23 with 5 home runs last year.
It's amazing. Should have signed here.
I know. I was kind of like,
you were campaigning hard.
Campaigning hard for that.
We all would have loved to see that.
It was cool to see Duran get MVP, an absolute breakout star last year for the Boston Red Sox, and now, you know, playing incredibly well. And he got the Reds flamethrower there for the game winning home run, 413th back there in the 413 footer back there in the fifth inning for Jaron Duran, but definitely a proper coming out party for one of the game's emerging stars. What other kind of takeaways do we have here at 877-881-1053?
Man, when I heard Baskey talking about the hot dogs from heaven, I had giant FOMO that we weren't out there.
Dude, National Hot Dog Day is today. Well, we will celebrate that coming up at 420. It's kind of a random day to have it. You would assume that that should just be like July 4th, maybe.
No, because that's America's birthday.
You want to separate
it's
them?
Like a hot dog adjacent, but it's not like we're not celebrating the hot dog necessarily.
The hot dog does deserve its own day.
It deserves its own day. And they were parachuting dogs from the rafters of Globe Life Field last night. Like, that's one of the coolest things ever.
A-plus to whoever came up with that idea.
I got hit in the crotch with a t-shirt from the rafters of the AAC. I think somebody purposely threw it at me.
They got those cannons that fire those things.
T-shirt. Reggie and I were sitting there.
Some of the best cannons I've ever seen.
Reggie and I were sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm just kind of like, you know, I didn't even look up, and this t-shirt hit me right in the crotch. And it was kind of like somebody had messed with the... Like, they were trying to injure me. They messed with the parachute. It didn't open. It just straight went
down.
You
were the target.
So from the catwalk, I got
sabotaged
hit. Yeah, they tried. But I got a t-shirt. I gave it to Bennett. But yeah, it hit me. But hot dogs from the rafters, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Do they do the mustard packets and stuff with
it? See, that's what I was thinking.
They come foiled.
I wish they would do, maybe you go like scotch tape and you tape a package, a little packet of mustard and catch up to each one. If you really want to go the extra mile with it.
Real quick, what needs to be parachuted from the rafters? Food item. Not anything, not a hot dog, something else. Give me another item.
A pretzel's a pretty good one.
I mean, I think nachos would be too difficult. A burger, maybe.
Could you do a beer? Like a beer in a cup?
You could put a lid on there.
Yeah, put a top on the beer?
I think so.
Well, it'd be pretty heavy, though.
But a big, like a two parachutes.
Yeah, you're going to need
two parachutes. Yeah.
It's a win, though. It's a win. I think you need to be worried about liability. Like, if that chute cuts loose and drops on somebody's head.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I hit with the t-shirt.
We might drop you coupons for beer at my stage.
Like a 12-year-old gets it, chugs it.
Sorry you got to get out of your seat and stuff, guys, to go get the beer, but here's a free coupon for it.
Okay, couple of texts. Chris from Allen, the Fact DFW, reminded America that Carlos Correa is still a trash can. That was great. Any booing of the Astros or former Astros. Josh from Arlington, All-Star Village was amazing. Went there for free, came back with $45 SeatGeek, $25 Fanatics gift cards, and a bunch of cool souvenirs.
How warm was it, if you don't mind chiming in on that, if you would, sir.
He said he got a tour of the old ballpark dugout. Got to hang out there. So pretty cool. But yeah, definitely toasty.
Passed out on the way down the stairs.
Yeah, that's the kind of deal as a parent. You're like, hey, okay, we're going to swing through here for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, come here, come to this dugout and kind of catch some heat. Yeah.
Speaking of heat, time now for the G-Bag of the Day into the pink cup. Here's Lucius.
Yeah. Hey, so I like the idea of the jerseys, all-star jerseys. You know what I'm saying? To kind of seal that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like that. But this year was a swing and a miss.
Swing and a miss.
But I don't want them to go all the way back to the home jersey vibe again. Because, I mean, it's cool because you can recognize who's who out there. But I do like to have the jersey of that year of the MLB All-Star game or NBA All-Star, whatever the case may be. I do like that.
It is cool. So, it, you know, it time stamps it.
Yeah, you get the vibe, man. Yeah. I'll never forget in the 90s when they went to Phoenix. And they had the cactuses on the All-Star jerseys in the NBA.
That was cool.
Yeah, man. All right, let's see here. Our winner, day two, Sean and RJ, the RJ and Chop Show. Sean is back in the building, and things are going swimmingly.
Sorry, go ahead. Did you have more? Your mic's off. You think, what's wrong with you today?
This
you come in late. You don't have your equipment.
I was not late.
You don't have an earpiece.
I was not late.
You're stuttering and stammering. You don't have your mic on.
I was not late.
Wake up.
I was not late. Stuttering and stammering just means we're twins now, Sean. That's all that is. So, Peyton, continue.
He went in on that while you were out. He kept talking about
how
an insecurity or whatever.
Snitching. Hey, RJ, I don't even notice.
He was talking about me stuttering.
Yeah, I don't even notice.
No, I did not.
I don't even notice.
If you could ever have your name first or second in the show and talk as much as I do. Son.
Yeah.
There's a promo right there. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. There's a promo for the day. So Tim doesn't have to bust Bobby's ball. That's the last time I take up for your ass, too. When you want to say something in the meeting, you're too scared to do it. That's the last time I put my neck out there on the line for you.
Dang. Boy, he ended that. I like how you ended that, Sean.
For you.
I like how you did that. That was a great dismount, sir.
It was. Some of his finest broadcasting ever.
It's my guy, Dawson. He'll be here till 7 o'clock p.m. People, just keep listening here.
These jokes are free.
These jokes are free, man. Yesterday, Paul Feinbaum had some words for Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Eric played for us. Boy, it was fire. It was pretty good. But my man, Chris Mad Dog Russo, he dons the cape. He's a superhero now. He's donning the cape. Says, Paul, hold on. Wait a minute. Let's talk about Lincoln again.
Ooh.
He didn't take over a good program. They were terrible. USC was, what was their record before he got there the year before? Did they lose 5 games? Four games?
But Doggy in the transfer, I mean, he brought a bunch of players. He brought the best player in the country with
him. I want a Heisman Trophy with him.
Didn't get much out of him.
They won a Heisman Trophy! At a place where they win Heisman with Marcus Allen and Charles White.
What did it?
Simpson.
How many trophies did he? How many
Carson Palmer.
Did he hold up?
Well, hold on now. You're talking about Heisman Trophy in USC. That means everything. Carson Palmer, Leinart, Reggie Bush, Simpson. They love Heisman Trophies. And he brought a Heisman Trophy there. That counts.
You're
they love Heisman Trophies in USC.
A reason why USC is good? Come on.
It's USC. They've been around since 1910. Newt Rockne. USC.
Oh, yeah.
It's a much better program than Oklahoma.
Get him, Doggy.
I'm surprised at you. Don't talk about Vanderbilt football.
Let's talk about Vanderbilt football.
Man, he had Feinbaum like, baby. Wow, dude. Had him on his heels.
It was like two comic book characters coming together and arguing.
Those are two crusties going at it.
Barack Obama.
Can't let that fly. All right, let's see what else we got for you boys. Oh, this is not one. This is not one. Do not vote for it.
Watch
it's got
me.
Some age on it. But our winner so far is from the Sean and RJ show. And then Sean and Bobby going back and forth. Well, here's Bobby if he worked at In-N-Out.
Cool. So just going to double check with you guys really quick right now. It's going to be the cheeseburger. That's going to be protein style for the burger. Everything on it but the raw onion. It's going to be one double-double. That's going to be everything on it but the onion for the burger. It's going to be one animal sapphire light well. Two waters to go for y'all today. 16:10 up at the first window right behind the blue 430 or red.
Wow.
Surgical.
That's Bobby right there, boy.
That's impressive. New micro machine guy.
Yeah.
Built for the window, dude. Gosh, what a badass.
He's got some of that white stuff on the side of his mouth. His mouth is dry as hell. He chewed those peels up.
I appreciate the speed there, though. There's nothing worse than the long recap from the gal. He's like, So we have two fruit punches, two chicken mini orders.
Only to still get it wrong at the end.
I'm you like, still listen, check the bag, right?
I know there's eight cars in front of me, but I'd really just like to keep it moving.
No, you gotta be fast at that.
I'm willing to deal with a little mistake here and there.
You gotta know who your best headset person is. You gotta put him over there.
That guy's got a future as like an auctioneer.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He can get in that bag.
Maybe one of the best ever.
No, you're absolutely correct. Remember that politician who was getting trolled and all of a sudden
Golly, what was his name? We're going to Arkansas. Rah!
Yeah.
Cool. So just going to double check with you guys really quick right now. It's going to be the cheeseburger. That's going to be protein style for the burger. Everything on it with the raw onion. It's going to be one double double. That's going to be everything on it with the onion for the burger. It's going to be one animal style fry light well. Two waters to go for y'all today. 16:10 up at the first window right behind the blue 430 or red.
What's the guy's name? Dean?
You want to see a party trick?
The politician Dean?
Is that what it was?
Last name Dean.
Dean.
Harold Dean.
No, it's something Dean.
I think it's Bean. Promise.
Dean.
I think I'm just surprised that order was only $16. That must be a throwback cut. Howard Dean. Sounded like about $60 in today's.
That was Howard Dean?
That was Howard Dean from,
the Bean family.
That was a different guy.
Howard Dean.
And everybody thinks it was that clip that clipped him, and it wasn't the clip. It was the fact that he was going to break up media conglomerates. Yeah. And so the media said, guess what? That little goofy clip of yours, we're going to play it over and over and over again to make you look silly out of here.
Wow.
And there it goes.
Knowledge bomb.
It
sure did.
All right, one more. PJ Carlissimo.
Uh-oh.
Former head coach PJ Carlissimo.
I don't think we got enough time for this one, Lucas.
7 minutes
should open with this one.
As soon as I seen it, I was like, I don't know, bro. Shout out to the Tolo that sent me this one. PJ Carlissimo, he's upset over Summer League officiating. Uh-oh. It's the Summer League, dog.
I always wasn't thrilled when the officials look at the replay and then they got to sit and talk about it, stand and talk about it here for a while. We just looked at the replay. Should have told us what. Let's have a meeting and we'll discuss it. I don't like the discussions.
Uh-oh. PJ's ornery.
Here we go.
After review, there is a legal contact made by the Los Angeles player. The challenge is unsuccessful. Milwaukee will shoot two free throws.
Disgraceful.
Disgraceful.
There was nothing there.
It's disgraceful.
Yeah, I don't see this either.
Oh, I don't know how he's even standing after all that contact. Are you kidding me? That's a joke. You looked at the replay and they said there was illegal contact. I think he coughed on him. I didn't realize in the Summer League you can't cough on a player.
I love it, man. Yeah. We were down 21-2 in the first 3 minutes of the game last night.
Ooh!
Got a ref so ticked off at me. I was like...
Get tossed?
No, he didn't even tee me up once.
Oh, wow.
I told him I wanted a fair shake.
Yeah, you keep chirping.
You wanted a fair one or a fair shake? What'd you say?
I wanted a fair shake.
Oh, okay.
On the call because they were trapping the hell out of us, slapping and stuff, and they didn't need any help. Okay. They didn't need to foul to completely dominate us. So I said, man, I just want a fair shake. That's all. And he says, oh, so you think I'm cheating?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
I
crap.
Do, sir. I would have said.
No, I just think you suck.
We need help. Okay.
I think you're not paying attention to the right things.
I told you that one time. Yeah. I told that official. I go, sir, they're good. They don't need your help.
I use that line all the time. Yeah. I say, they don't need your help.
Sir, and you got to say, line. Sir. Sir, they don't need your help.
He's like, don't get mad at me because you're down 20 already. I said, sir, I showed up knowing we were going to lose by 60. Okay. Trust me, there's no surprises going on right now.
What do you want me to do?
Please, just don't let them hack the hell out of us while running the best 7th grade full court press I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I want.
Shout out to him.
Is it the Sean and Bobby fight? Is it Mad Dog Russo on the Heisman with Feinbaum there? Not a nominee. Bobby, if he worked at In-N-Out. PJ Carlissimo calling officiating disgraceful. I'll vote for our guy PJ here today, Chief. I haven't heard enough of him on the air this year.
I'll go with the champion.
Yeah, the RJ and Choppy show. Which one of those fools is Chump?
Which one?
Old Chump?
I'll go with, give me Mad Dog.
Oh, we're 2-1-1, Brian.
I'm going to vote for the window guy.
Okay.
I know it's not a vote, but I'm going to vote for the window guy.
With two, Sean and Bobby a win again. You can catch the Sean and RJ show 5:30 to 10 weekday mornings here on The Fan. Brian, where are we going next?
Yeah, I've got more questions. And they've got answers. We'll talk about that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for Krusty's Corner with Bronis, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. And thank you to the guys and gals out there that listen to our podcast and stuff. If you don't catch all our... all the show, maybe
you're crushing the podcast game, man.
Coming in a little late, you know, but our show gets podcasted too. Lucius does a really nice job with that. So, you know, kind of reward him for all his hard work of putting these things together. So if you miss anything, go back and check it out on the podcast and stuff. You can do that. But we do appreciate everybody out there that does listen to us do this show daily. So again, thank you. Okay. I'm going to give you guys a chance to fight for some guys on this football team. You could fight for them. How about this? You could fight or you could say goodbye. Whatever you want to do. You know, I'm going to give you a name of a guy. And, you know, if you have a reason to fight for him, give a reason why you want to see him on the 53 when this thing rolls out.
Cowboys fight or flight.
Or you could say, you know what? Hey, hit the road, Jack. The immortal words of Ray Charles. You know?
You come back no more.
If you feel like that this guy doesn't need to be here anymore and you've seen enough and he's going to take up somebody's spot, we'll go for that. Chief, I'll start with you.
Mm-hmm.
Fight for Nashawn Wright.
Oof.
Or say goodbye to Nashawn Wright.
I think I'm in the goodbye stage on Nashawn Wright. I felt I was hopeful that he could do something with Dan Quinn, that body type at corner that you've seen Dan Quinn, especially in the Seattle years, really be able to get something out of. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, what we're going into, is this year four for Nashawn Wright?
I think it might be year four, yeah.
And this was
checking that. He's been in 3 years already.
Yeah. I mean, he's, and it's not like he's a super wow you on special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Is he not?
I think he's a pretty damn good special teamer.
So he's a good enough special teamer to hang around?
I would prefer him over. I know that they absolutely love
CJ Goodwin.
CJ Goodwin.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to bring up. If I'm going to fight for him, I remember being out there at camp and they're doing the special teams drills.
Yeah.
Nashawn Wright was the best one out there when it came to the gunner stuff. Like, they were literally putting other people, giving them advantages. They're double teaming him the whole time. Like, he was just crushing everything that they put his way. And to me, yeah, you probably could have taken C.J. Goodwin's roster spot, given that to Nashawn Wright if you wanted to. I think he is a really good special teams player, but the corner stuff... Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question. It's like, are you ever going to develop into somebody that I can put on the field?
I mean, they drafted the traits, which are fantastic. Tall, long, lean. But you pay good money for special teams players. And if you still have one under control, I think you take advantage of that opportunity to save a little bit of money.
Wooly,
mm-hmm.
Fight for Malik Davis, running back. Or say goodbye.
Yeah, I mean... There's just so much uncertainty at running back. I don't know. Like, if Malik Davis, I think, had something, we would have seen it. They couldn't play him in the playoff game after Tony Pollard went down in San Francisco because they didn't trust him.
Didn't spit the bit a little bit there, maybe.
Rico Dowdle, they clearly value ahead of him. Mm-hmm. He's got a great opportunity during camp to solidify himself as, hey, I'm a guy that I should be part of these running back reps. Mm-hmm. I should be in this rotation. Because I do think he's got some burst. I think he's got some wiggle to and through the hole. We haven't really seen much when it comes to as a receiving threat whatsoever, and there's not a lot of tread on those tires. He split time with Damian Pierce at Florida, so he's not a guy that's really been beaten up a ton at the running back
position. He has tread on the tires.
There's not a lot of tread on the tires.
No.
I always say that wrong.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I always butcher this
one. I do too, actually.
Tread's good.
I believe this.
Tread's good.
We want the tread. Yeah. There is a lot of tread on those tires.
So there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the guy has just as good a chance as anybody. I mean, who else are you going to go for, I think, is the case with Malik Davis. Like, he and Rico might be your two most talented in their prime runners that you have. So, you know, we've seen Hunter. We've seen Deuce. I just think those guys don't have the measurables to compete in the NFL. Malik Davis, good size, good speed. I think that's one of the guys that I'd look for a breakout. Like, you know, 2022, 38 carries, 4.2 an attempt.
Yeah,
I'd love 4.2 out of this running back room this year. I think from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, I see it the same way. I'm not like overly impressed with Malik Davis, but based on the running back room as currently presented, he's got as good a chance as anybody to be in the sort of rotation that I think they're going to have there. Now, obviously, Dowdle you like better, but running back three, I could see that for Davis.
Willie, I'm going to go to you on this one.
Okay.
I'm interested to see on this one real quick. Fight for or say goodbye to Matt Wiletzko, the offensive tackle.
I got to say goodbye to Matt Wiletzko. I can't. I loved the traits. I thought that that was an interesting pick. I never liked Josh Ball when they selected him. I didn't see much there on tape. Wiletzko, I
can. So you would you piggyback Josh Ball, who was picked fourth round in the 2021, and then also Matt Wiletzko was picked in the fifth round in 2022. Are you saying goodbye to both those guys?
Ball I'd have said bye to 2 years ago. Wiletzko, I've wanted to see. I think that unfortunately his body is not allowing him to contribute at the NFL level. Those shoulders keep popping in and out. He has not been able to stay healthy. And we really, at this point in his career, and you're going into what, year three? We haven't been able to tell what you are as a player, and I think now you've got some options with Awesome Richards, who hopefully is going to develop some. Mm-hmm. You just drafted Nate Thomas, who I do think is going to be more of an interior player than he is a tackle. But
sure.
I have not seen anything to be able to fight for Matt Wiletzko at all.
Dawson, you going to say goodbye, or is there a reason to fight for Matt Wiletzko?
I think there is. I think his size and, you know, what you could see out of his college tape that was impressive for you guys makes me think if this guy could stay healthy, he's someone that we'd want. You know, I don't know how many tackles you're going to carry or if you could get him onto the practice squad. But I, you know, one of the first things you told me in Oxnard, Brian, you probably don't remember this, it was over a decade ago, but you know, these offensive linemen can take 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I think I was asking about another young guy. I'm like, why is this guy even here? And You're like, surprising things can happen.
Sure.
You know, over the course of, 3 or 4 years. So just hoping that the traits bear out.
Yeah. I'd be more flight on this dude. Got not much to fight for here. I mean, even when he's been healthy enough to practice, it's not like he's been overly impressive. And like Walchuk said, he just can't stay healthy. So, and now you don't have the type of sponsors in the room necessarily from a coaching standpoint. So I think he's as good as gone.
Dawson, I'll go with you on this one in my last couple minutes here. Say goodbye or fight for Israel Mokwamu.
Oh, you want to fight for that guy. He's put together some good football. You know, you just need him to be more consistent. So that's one of the guys, you know, in that defensive back room that, you know, I think really has a chance while you're needing to get by on the cheap here for the next couple of years while you dig out a cap hell that can be a quality cheap player for you.
Yeah, man, I'm hopeful. I still want to believe in the upside of Izzy Mokwamu. He's shown enough from a couple seasons ago that makes you feel like there's something in there. And I think he could be the type of guy that fits the Mike Zimmer desire to have the best of both worlds with the safeties, interchangeable, being able to cover a lot of ground in the back end, but then also come up and be a little bit physical. So I still want to believe in Mokwamu.
Yeah, I mean, what he did working out of the slot in that playoff game was super impressive. I was shocked we didn't see more Mokwamu last year. I wonder what happened there because I felt like Dan Quinn had a plan for him. But that might come down to Mokwamu versus Wright on the depth chart, right? I mean, you need somebody to step up a corner. Maybe Izzy's able to do that.
Jimin, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 2:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Wolchuk, what do we got in the NFL news of the day?
Yeah, we've got Charles Haley, Hard Knocks, CeeDee Lamb on the wide receiver rankings, and did we finally find Pat Mahomes' kryptonite? That's next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for Krusty's Corner with Bronis, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. And thank you to the guys and gals out there that listen to our podcast and stuff. If you don't catch all our all the show, maybe
you're crushing the podcast game, man.
Coming in a little late, you know, but our show gets podcasted too. Lucius does a really nice job
sure
with
does.
That. So, you know, kind of reward him for all his hard work of putting these things together. So if you miss anything, go back and check it out on the podcast and stuff. You can do that. But we do appreciate everybody out there that does listen to us do this show daily. So again, thank you. Okay. I'm going to give you guys a chance to fight for some guys on this football team. You could fight for them. How about this? You could fight or you could say goodbye, whatever you want to do. You know, I'm going to give you a name of a guy, and you know, if you have a reason to fight for him, give a reason why you want to see him on the 53 when this thing rolls out.
Little Cowboys fight or flight.
Or you could say, you know what? Hey, hit the road, Jack. The immortal words of Ray Charles. You know, if you feel
don't
like
you come back no more.
If you feel like that this guy doesn't need to be here anymore and you've seen enough and he's going to take up somebody's spot, we'll go for that. Chief, I'll start with you.
Mm-hmm.
Fight for Nashawn Wright.
Oof.
Or say goodbye to Nashawn Wright.
I think I'm in the goodbye stage on Nashawn Wright. I felt I was hopeful that he could do something with Dan Quinn, that body type at corner that you've seen Dan Quinn, especially in his Seattle years, really be able to get something out of. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, what we're going into, is this year four for Nashawn Wright?
I think it might be year four, yeah.
And this was
checking that. He's been in 3 years already.
Yeah. I mean, he's, and it's not like he's a super wow you on special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Is he not?
I think he's a pretty damn good special teamer.
So he's a good enough special teamer to hang around?
I would prefer him over. I know that they absolutely love
CJ Goodwin.
CJ Goodwin.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to bring him. If I'm going to fight for him, I remember being out there at camp and they're doing the special teams drills.
Yeah.
Nashawn Wright was the best one out there when it came to the gunner stuff. Like, they were literally putting other people, giving them advantages. They're double teaming him the whole time. Like, he was just crushing everything that they put his way. And to me, yeah, you probably could have taken C.J. Goodwin's roster spot, given that to Nashawn Wright if you wanted to. I think he is a really good special teams player, but the corner stuff... Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question. It's like, are you ever going to develop into somebody that I can put on the field?
I mean, they drafted the traits, which are fantastic. Tall, long, lean. But you pay good money for special teams players. And if you still have one under control, I think you take advantage of that opportunity to save a little bit of money.
Wooly.
Mm-hmm.
Fight for Malik Davis, running back. Or say goodbye.
Yeah, I mean... There's just so much uncertainty at running back. I don't know. Like, if Malik Davis, I think, had something, we would have seen it. They couldn't play him in the playoff game after Tony Pollard went down in San Francisco because they didn't trust him.
Didn't spit the bit a little bit there, maybe.
Rico Dowdle, they clearly value ahead of him. Mm-hmm. He's got a great opportunity during camp to solidify himself as, hey, I'm a guy that I should be part of these running back reps. Mm-hmm. I should be in this rotation. Because I do think he's got some burst. I think he's got some wiggle to and through the hole. We haven't really seen much when it comes to as a receiving threat whatsoever, and there's not a lot of tread on those tires. He split time with Damian Pierce at Florida, so he's not a guy that's really been beaten up a ton at the running back
position. He has tread on the tires.
There's not a lot of tread on the tires.
No.
I always say that wrong.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I always butcher this
one. I do too, actually.
Tread's good.
I bleep
this up. You
want
tread.
Tread's good.
We want the tread. Yeah. There is a lot of tread on those tires.
So there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, you know... The guy has just as good a chance as anybody. I mean, who else are you going to go for, I think, is the case with Malik Davis. Like, he and Rico might be your two most talented in their prime runners that you have. So, you know, we've seen Hunter, we've seen Deuce. I just think those guys don't have the measurables to compete in the NFL. Malik Davis, good size, good speed. I think that's one of the guys that I'd look for a breakout. Like, you know, 2022, 38 carries, 4.2 an attempt.
Yeah.
I'd love 4.2 out of this running back room this year, I think, from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, I see it the same way. I'm not, like, overly impressed with Malik Davis, but based on the running back room as currently presented, he's got as good a chance as anybody to be in the sort of rotation that I think they're going to have there. Now, obviously, Dowdle you like better, but running back three, I could see that for Davis.
Willie, I'm going to go to you on this one.
Okay.
I'm interested to see on this one real quick.
fight for or say goodbye to Matt Wiletzko, the offensive tackle?
I got to say goodbye to Matt Wiletzko. I can't. I loved the traits. I thought that that was an interesting pick. I never liked Josh Ball when they selected him. I didn't see much there on tape. Wiletzko, I
so you would you would you piggyback Josh Ball, who was picked fourth round in the 2021, and then also Matt Wiletzko was picked in the fifth round in 2022. Are you saying goodbye to both those guys?
Ball I'd have said bye to 2 years ago. Wiletzko, I've wanted to see. I think that unfortunately his body is not allowing him to contribute at the NFL level. Those shoulders keep popping in and out. He has not been able to stay healthy. And we really, at this point in his career, and you're going into what, year three? We haven't been able to tell what you are as a player, and I think now you've got some options with Awesome Richards, who hopefully is going to develop some. Mm-hmm. You just drafted Nate Thomas, who I do think is going to be more of an interior player than he is a tackle. But
sure.
I have not seen anything to be able to fight for Matt Wiletzko at all.
Dawson, you going to say goodbye, or is there a reason to fight for Matt Wiletzko?
I think there is. I think his size and, you know, what you could see out of his college tape that was impressive for you guys makes me think if this guy could stay healthy, he's someone that we'd want. You know, I don't know how many tackles you're going to carry or if you could get him onto the practice squad. But I, you know, one of the first things you told me in Oxnard, Brian, you probably don't remember this, it was over a decade ago, but you know, these offensive linemen can take 4 or 5 years. Yeah. I think I was asking about another young guy. I'm like, why is this guy even here? And right. You're like, surprising things can happen.
Sure.
You know, over the course of, 3 or 4 years. So just hoping that the traits bear out.
Yeah. I'd be more flight on this dude. Got not much to fight for here. I mean, even when he's been healthy enough to practice, it's not like he's been overly impressive. And like Walchuk said, he just can't stay healthy. So, and now you don't have the type of sponsors in the room necessarily from a coaching standpoint. So I think he's as good as gone.
Dawson, I'll go with you on this one in my last couple minutes here. Say goodbye or fight for Israel Mukwamu.
Oh, you want to fight for that guy. He's put together some good football. You know, you just need him to be more consistent. So that's one of the guys, you know, in that defensive back room that, you know, I think really has a chance while you're needing to get by on the cheap here for the next couple years while you dig out a cap hell that can be a quality cheap player for you.
Yeah, man, I'm hopeful. I still want to believe in the upside of Izzy Mukwamu. He's shown enough from a couple seasons ago that makes you feel like there's something in there. And I think he could be the type of guy that fits the Mike Zimmer desire to have the best of both worlds with the safeties, interchangeable, being able to cover a lot of ground in the back end, but then also come up and be a little bit physical. So I still want to believe in Mukwamu.
Yeah, I mean, what he did working in out of the slot in that playoff game was super impressive. I was shocked we didn't see more Mukwamu last year. I wonder what happened there because I felt like Dan Quinn had a plan for him. But that might come down to Mukwamu versus Wright on the depth chart, right? I mean, you need somebody to step up a corner. Maybe Izzy's able to do that.
Gentlemen, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 2:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Wolchuk, what do we got in the NFL news of the day?
Yeah, we've got Charles Haley, Hard Knocks, CeeDee Lamb on the wide receiver rankings. And did we finally find Pat Mahomes' kryptonite? That's next.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.